hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I'm Bill Knight. Happy Friday to you. So
and happy Friday to you. Hey, I got something interesting to pass along to you. A little sidetrack moment before we get into the show. I did some research, and there are 4,318,424 podcasts that are out there. I'm going to run it by you again. 4,318,424 podcasts that people have a choice they can listen to.
How in the hell do you float to the top in that mess?
Well, I don't know, but we seem to be doing just that. I looked at that figure. Then I looked at Spotify has statistics, and they don't just give you the statistics for the number of downloads on their site. They literally go out and grab all of the sites that your podcast is on, and then they put it all together and give you a ranking. And out of 4,318,424, we came in at 648. 648. I mean, that is less, that's a fraction of 1% of 4,318,424. I mean, the other thing, I said this to you, Bill, a little while ago. You have to take into consideration that, podcasts are different. There's tons of different types of podcasts. They run the gamut. And what we do here is conservative talk and opinion about the day's news, right? That's what we do here on our podcast. But, I mean, we're competing in that mishmash of podcasts against sports shows, against other types of, lifestyle programs who are doing it. Most of them now are video programs. And people like their video podcasts, right? But we don't do that here. We're just an audio podcast. We're like a radio show. So we are kind of a limited type of we've limited our audience based upon the fact that we're only an audio podcast. And that being said, coming in at 648 worldwide out of 4.5 million ain't bad.
No, it's not. And, I can quickly equate that to going back in the days. Most people don't even know what a CD is anymore. But, going back, if you're in your 40s or above, you probably remember not only the CDs, but you remember cassettes. And the record industry was always at alarm because they were sitting there going, we put these albums out there and woohoo, we sold 1 million copies. But there might be 20 or 30 million copies of it out there because people would sit there and go, hey, man, you got the new Styx album, you got the new Stones album. Could you burn me a copy on cassette? You go to the store, get a $5 cassette, you burn it. Here you go, buddy. Or people would sell them, and the same thing happens with podcasts. You download these things and then other places stream it. And that's what Spotify is doing. They're finding all the downloads and streams, and a lot of shows are all focused in one place. We just happen to be spread over a very broad, platforms, and all total, we snuck up the chart.
And the interesting thing is, we did no promotion at all ever for this program. Literally. Yeah. 2.5 years ago, when we started doing this, it was Bill and I got together and we started to do the shows. They were awkward at first. We had to get our pacing. We had to get comfortable doing the show with each other every day. But that happened. It all fell into place like a lot of talk shows on radio do. Many times when you hear your favorite talk show and there's a couple of people on that talk show, they don't even know each other when they step into the studio. Sometimes the program director will say, I'm pairing you with so-and-so. We're going to make a morning show out of it, and you guys are going to start on Monday. And the two guys walk into the studio, and they don't know each other, and it takes a while for them to get used to, what it is they have to do.
And I did a morning show one time in Raleigh, North Carolina, and was number one there. But when I came on board, I was solo. And somebody said, he's good, but we want a woman on there. So You know, I was helping to pick, and it was funny because the first girl that did it became very famous. You hear her at airports and everywhere. You know, she came in, she goes, "Oh, Bill Knight." She came in with her rosary beads into the meeting. So I was going, that ain't going to work. And then they found this other young lady there that I've lost track of. She went on to bigger and better things. But we were together for years. But I got to tell you, the first 2 weeks of that show was pure hell because she was pulling one way and I was going, no. The show is me and you, and I'm pulling the other way. And it broke down to where I was mad as hell and I was going, this can't go on, and she's crying. And then we realized that was the breaking point moment. And then all of a sudden, we gelled.
Yeah.
And it was just like we were conjoined twins or something. I could think something, she could follow up that thought, just pick right up in the middle of the conversation, no matter what. And it was perfect, you know, for the several years that we were together, and we were number one.
Well, that's what happened. I truly believe that's the kind of thing that has happened here with us over the course of the past 2.5 years. We've gotten used to how we work, and we kind of think alike in a lot of ways, and that comes across in the listeners, I'm sure.
So we thank the listeners for listening.
We appreciate everyone out there. For, you know, from the first listener we ever had, we have some listeners, by the way, who started with us right in the very beginning.
And thank you for putting up with our crap.
And they're still there. We have, now I just want to point this out. This month, right, in the month of May alone, I have this statistic for you. Not April, May, not March, April, May. Just over the course of the last...
You got numbers I don't have.
Last couple of weeks. We have had listeners in the United States, in Bahrain, the United Kingdom, Ireland, Canada, India, Australia, Germany, Ghana, Iran, can you believe that? New Zealand, South Africa, Vietnam, Taiwan, Turkey, Mexico, Indonesia, France, Denmark, Bangladesh, Cyprus, the Czech Republic, I'm not done yet. Guam, Japan, Korea, Nigeria, Norway, Panama, Portugal, Russia, and Singapore. That's in the last 2 weeks. Now, folks, I applaud you. Thank you for looking. Thank you for looking for good, what we think is good talk radio. And thank you for
studio
making
the audience over here.
Thank you for making us a part of your life, you know, because without you, we'd be talking to ourselves. That would be easy to do. There are a lot of people all over the world who found our little program. And by the way, the other thing is this, we have never monetized this program.
Yeah, that's why we're asking you for $1 each right now. I'm kidding.
But what we'd like to do, seriously, because there are a lot of expenses, a lot more expenses than you can imagine for a little program like this, right? Because we have to do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, which you don't have to be bothered with. If you are somebody who would like to sponsor, maybe you have a product that you think would have a national appeal. Maybe you sell a product that you could, something that you can sell in California and in Maine, right? And maybe you can do it all online. Go to our website. Go to itsanotherday.com or jimandbill.com, and we have ways to contact us. You can email us, right? We're going to put something together, I think. We talked about this yesterday. My web guru, Mr. Knight here, said he might
no
be able
guru,
to do it.
I can tell you that.
But believe me, compared to me, you are like the Marconi of radio. But anyway, the thing is,
trust me,
he said he might be able to put a forum together. But even if we don't get the forum up, if you are interested in advertising, becoming a sponsor on our program, and we're not going to have a lot of sponsors, we're not going to clutter the program up. Maybe we'll have a message in the front and in the back of the program. We're not going to clutter it up with a lot of stuff that's going to irritate you, the listener, you know, but it would help us. It will help make things a little easier for us if we were to have some kind of sponsorship where we got some kind of revenue for doing this. I mean, we've been doing this. We're approaching our third year anniversary, and you know,
we're over 700 episodes now. The count says on this show we'll say 623, but the fact is, we had episodes that we didn't really count, weekend shows and things of that, special reports, and all totaled is over 700. And there's very few shows, and that probably lends to our numbers and credibility too. You know, osmosis over time, you know, the sum of all also helps with that ranking. But the simple fact is, the people that are strong and have persevered, they've done things over time. And the important thing to mention, you know, you talk about the Bonginos and stuff like that. I'm sure their numbers are way up there beyond us, but we're not far under that. They've got networks that support them, and they're on major platforms that sit there and promote them every day. And these are platforms that are long historically established. And so,
Bill, if you and I had a national program that ran 3 hours a day and it was heard on 600 stations, and you mentioned every so often your podcast on a daily basis, after a while, people would be going to the podcast. You get an extra hour of the program. And of course, it's going to do well. You know, it's built-in promotion.
They download it or they go to it and stream it because it's like an audio book. Audiobooks are big, and I never thought of it until you told me the numbers. I'm going, well, that's what people are doing. You know, they're out for their walk. They're out for their jog. They've got a you know, they're driving from Wilkes-Barre to Philadelphia, so they got an hour and 45-minute drive. Well, you know, they're like-minded, or even there are people that listen. I had this in Pittsburgh, not for my show, but a show I programmed. You know, people that absolutely hated the talk that was going on, and it was right talk. And I sat there at a dinner banquet one time and I said, why the hell do you put yourself through it? If you don't like what we have to say, why do you listen? Well, sometimes I listen just to get a laugh. Sometimes I listen because I want to see open-mindedly, you know, the opposite side of the coin to see what, you know, what you're thinking, you guys are thinking. I said, well, that's actually pretty smart.
I've had people who are friends of mine. They were friends long before I did this show, who are always consider themselves to be liberal, you know, and who've listened to the show, and they've kind of come across, not that we're trying to recruit people to think like us. That's not our objective here. We just do the program, and we make our comments, and we let you decide what you want to do with them, okay? We're not trying to irritate you or to upset you. We're just trying to tell you what we think the world is happening, is like around us right now, and why that is. That's all. You know, there are some people who have actually changed their opinion about stuff based upon what we talk about here. You know, that people who I know who started out saying, oh, he's a conservative. Oh, boy. And after a while, I was like, well, yeah, I kind of agree with that. Yeah, and that guy, he really did that, you know. And we try to back up a lot of our stuff with facts, although the first story we're going to talk about today is really interesting. And we don't really
Oh, it's major news.
Yeah, and we don't really have all the facts, but it's...
Well, I will say this. Well, you know, I'll just say the source that printed it, I would question. But the source that they quote and the guy that wrote the story is a doctor.
Yeah.
Who has a site, and he's done creditable stories. And the one thing, well, you know, unless we're ready to launch into the story, I won't say what the one thing is. I'll keep that.
Okay,
one
well,
thing.
I think now is as good a time as any. Just thank you again for making us the 648th most popular podcast in the world. That's what we are. See, you may say, well, 648 is another, is that anything to brag about? Well, when you consider there are 4,318,424 podcasts out there, being number 648 ain't bad. You know,
yeah.
I'm just saying. Thank you very much.
And by the way, for the story, the person that brought it up to me brought it up a couple of days ago and told me about it. I said, yeah, get that to me. And then, you know, I never saw it. And then, you know, I asked about it yesterday because it stuck in my mind.
Now, this is the We've transitioned here, friends. I want to we've transitioned to our first story, which is you got to pay attention.
Yeah.
This is a beaut. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, no, I want to credit the guy that opened it up. A guy by the name of John Quell lives in your neck of the woods, and he and I worked together. At one time, we sparred against each other because he was a newspaper editor, but he's a broadcaster and good guy, John Quell. And sometimes when I talk to him or I call him up with a question, hey, I got to get back to you because I've got this or that to do. He's been a poll worker. Yesterday, he couldn't get back to me right away because he was hosting or doing, I'm not Catholic, I'm Baptist, but he was hosting noon mass in. He's got his priorities, and God bless him, you know, that's a great thing. You know, he's got his priorities right, what's the most important in his life, mm-hmm. and his faith is. But, you know, thanks to John for this. But the story is about President Trump and what went on in, what was the town over the weekend in New Jersey?
Wildwood, New Jersey.
Wildwood is a town of 5,100 people. Yet there were over 100,000 people there, all crammed in that little town, you know, all to hear Trump, which the left tried to malign a lot of different things. I think we talked about some of it yesterday, but you don't hear about it. We've mentioned before that, oh, there's been attempts on Trump. Now, Trump has a Secret Service team that's with him, but he also has his own elite detail. Now, what you don't hear on the news is that there was an attempt on him, on his life. And you might go, well, that goes without saying. And you even think about Kennedy out there going, I don't get the Secret Service protection. But what if I told you, or Jim told you, that this wasn't some radical foreign entity that attempted, if this holds true, I want to put that caveat in there, that there was an attempt. And I tend to believe it could be because the source of the attack, I'll let you say who did it.
No, I'm listening to you. You're doing fine.
Okay. Apparently, it was somebody that was, apparently they got the Trump campaign actually figured out where the deep state chatter was coming from. So they were able to monitor this and know this, or the Delta Force was. And the person that was caught was a rogue Secret Service person.
Now, again, we have no details as far as whether this is true or not. I mean, we have a story which seems to be truthful, you know. But then again, you also have to understand that there's a lot of garbage out there that, you know, disguises itself in a cloak of truthfulness, you know. So we may be wrong. But then again, the reason why Bill and I are talking about this is this isn't the first type of story I've heard about over the course of the past 2.5 years, that there have been a number of attempts on President Trump's life. And if you say, well, why haven't we heard about this? It's because they don't want to encourage these things. They don't want to make a big thing out of something that didn't happen, you know, that they were able to thwart. So they just keep it quiet.
Well, the news has been asked about that before. Well, we don't really talk about that because we don't want to encourage it. They don't want people to know that it's going on. It's like, I think the people need to know that there's a reason for the protection in the Secret Service. They even show it in the movies that things like that happen. And this is like a scene right out of the movie. So, you know, I'm going to sit there on credibility and, on presumptibility, I would give it a 95% to 99%. On actuality, you know, I'm going to somewhere in the.
Now, understand something. We did searches on our own for this story.
Story was scrubbed.
There's nothing out there. There is nothing out there about this story. It is gone. So if you're looking to verify it, you're not going to have any success, I don't think. But
no, you're really going to have to look. I mean, I'm looking at the copy right here. Got a nice picture of a Ferris wheel and, you know, all the crowd around and everything. And I'm like going, this is great. It opens up. Delta right. Force operators protecting President Donald J. Trump stopped a Secret Service assassin from killing the president at Saturday's massive MAGA rally in New Jersey, sources in General Smith's office told the news source. So,
well, you understand something. Think about this. We do know this. That was it about 2 weeks ago? I think it was out at Andrews Air Force Base. A female Secret Service agent supposedly went off her rocker or something like that. She just went.
Oh, yeah.
And she attacked other agents. And she had to be restrained and taken away.
White hats are not always white hats.
So you have to ask yourself, is there more that's going on that we know, you know, that we're privy to? I mean, do we really know the whole story? We say, oh, well, they're Secret Service. They would never do that. Well, not necessarily so. Who's running the Secret Service? Is it the Biden administration?
Well, you know, it leads to another thing that you and I have talked about, and then I have a further thought on it. But you look at Trump when he travels, all right? Anywhere he travels with a presidential motorcade and a Secret Service force that is as big, if not bigger, as if he were still the president.
Yeah, he has roughly 19 cars usually in his motorcade, and that includes, at the end of the motorcade, they have a truck, and there's usually like a SWAT team in there, guys who are armored up, and they just sit in the back of the truck, and they go along for the ride. Like maybe they call them Delta Force or whatever, but they're there. And then at the very end, they have an ambulance, full-blown ambulance with, you know, EMTs on it and all the necessary things you need to save somebody's life, should that be the case, should somebody be attacked. But, I mean, when you look at Trump go somewhere, he looks like he's still president, you know. And so there's a lot going on, folks, that we're not privy to, I think.
Well, made me think, you know, here, and, you know, if you're one of my liberal friends, you know, you might want to pull and push away any sharp objects you have, any things that can break anything, so away from your reach right now.
If you're driving, you may want to pull over to the side of the road, yes.
Yeah, and take your coffee cup and get it out of the way, because I'm going to go 5, 4, 3,
yes.
2, 1. Okay, so the thought is, you know, the left is sitting there going, you know, you're an election denier, and, you know, a lot of people on the right say the election was stolen. The election was stolen. Hell, Hillary said the election was stolen from her. No, what if Trump came along and upset the apple cart? And let's just say this is Friday, so, you know, you can hypothesize. It's one of those shows where let's just say that, like George Carlin says, it's all a crap show that what we're seeing in politics. You know, there are no good guys, bad guys. They're just all bad guys. It's just a show for us with the elections. So I'm saying the election wasn't stolen. The nation was stolen. You know, so it was, well, you know, your democracy that you say that you have was stolen. And that means that there are bad players on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, but and, Bill, let me just say one thing here. Here's what I think we're forgetting. See, I think it has been, the fix has been in for some time. And going to your point of good and bad, I think that there have been some, quote, Republican candidates who were voted in, who were on the deep state side, the dark side.
That's what I'm saying.
And some Democrats. I think they've all been, like you say, on the same team, just wearing a different label, okay? And we, as John Q. Public, have trusted them. I think that the game plan was, and I think at first I think they were dancing in the deep state hallways. When they heard Donald Trump was going to run, they thought, oh, this guy's going to be a breeze, a pushover, the perfect guy to run against. We're going to walk through his candidacy. We're going to get Hillary in there. I mean, folks, you have to remember, even on the night of the election, they had barges in the Hudson River with fireworks on them for Hillary. They had a big dance hall all set with all the accoutrements, you know, all of the wines and the open bars and the balloons. They were ready to party hardy because Hillary was going to be the next president. She was guaranteed it.
She was promised. She said that. It was hers.
So what happens? Donald Trump wins. To the surprise, up until 9 o'clock, they were saying on national television, well, you know, it looks like it's going to be a Hillary Clinton night. It looks like it's going to be her night, and we may have the first woman president of the United States, Hillary Rodham Clinton. And then the reports started coming in from across America, and you could see the blood drain from the faces of these leftist news reporters. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. They couldn't believe what they were reading. It was beyond their comprehension. One of them, one of the reporters on ABC, I forgot which one it was. Maybe it was Martha Raddatz. One of them started to cry. Cry that Hillary was going to lose the election. Hillary was so upset, she couldn't pull herself together to do a concession speech. She had to send over one of her aides, the comp, to concede, you know,
because they were not prepared for that outcome. They thought that they had it, reeled in tight enough to where that thought it was reeled in tight enough. You know, give them just enough freedom to think that they participated in a free and real election, and then you're a patriot. Now it's time for us to come together. There is no come together when you're basically voting for one thing, and Trump upset that apple cart. Now, Trump's had eyes on politics for a long time, and they even courted him, but he poo-pooed them.
Yeah, they actually, if you'll remember, they started going after Trump from the time he was sworn in. They had Obama had the FBI bug his election, his pre-election, his pre-sworn, you know, what do you call it? When you're a president, you've been elected president, but you haven't been sworn in yet. Anyway, they had his offices at Trump Tower bugged. Think about that, bugged. They were trying to get information on him before he was sworn in, after he was voted in as president. And no one talks about that, but that by itself was illegal, but they did it. It's there. Then during his presidency, almost from the very beginning, they started talking about the Russia hoax, the PP in the bed prostitutes and all that stuff. They tried to ruin this guy's reputation from day one. And he just kept going along. He was like the ever ready bunny. He just kept going and going and going, and the economy kept getting better, and the people on the left, they couldn't swallow it. They couldn't believe that he had interrupted their plans, but they kept throwing crap at them. First they impeached him on one thing, and it's water off his back. He gets out of that one. And then after the election in 2020, they figured they'd impeach him again, and that one went nowhere too. But I think
I know I got left friends choking on their bagels right now, but that's okay.
Hey, I don't care. You know, the fact of them, this nothing that we're saying here isn't true. So you talk about Donald Trump, whether you like him or not, and a lot of people, his personality irks him. That's okay. I mean, the guy's had a lot of success, but he's done a lot of great things for the country, folks. Whether you like him or not, you've had good paychecks and cheap gas. You've had no wars. I mean, no wars. He's proud of the fact that he didn't bring us into a new war. Can Biden say that? Hell no.
No. And now, if Trump gets back in, that doesn't mean he can guarantee that none of that's going to happen when he's in. Biden sure as hell can't. Trump can sure as hell promise that he's going to do his best to make sure that we get out of these messes.
I'm sorry. All I wanted to say, Bill, was that you had said that we lost our country. You had said that our country was stolen,
I was going to go back
not
to that.
The election. But what I wanted to say was, based upon what I was just talking about, that lead up, is that I agree with you. I think our country was stolen decades ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe that Trump came along and he's the monkey wrench. He's the wrench in the motor. They didn't expect him. And now he is doing it again. And they do not know what to do. And this is the frightening thing about it, Bill. They are desperate now. The case in New York has fallen apart with Michael Cohen and, yeah, and we'll Stormy Daniels. I mean, it's just, it's amazing how things keep going against the left.
If you go back and look at what, just taking, you don't have to believe what I said, but just take it into account and go back and look at the timeline and how things have transpired, and that you and I were played. Hillary just came along to blow out the candles and take all the prizes. And all of a sudden, you know, Trump threw a monkey wrench in that cake and threw it in their face. And so we actually had true democracy for 4 years under Trump.
Yeah.
And and now they've gotten to the point they're being more less transparent about it and more obvious about it, that they've got to take it back because we never really had a free country. And look at the evidence of what Joe Biden has done. A nation's not a nation unless you have a border.
Right.
Joe's taking it down. You know, he doesn't care about the economy and he's spent away. He blames everything on Trump, but yet everything is falling apart under
Biden.
You know
what he did yesterday, Bill, about the border? He said now if 4,000 people come across in the course of a day, he's going to close it down. He's not, you know, he for the longest time told people he didn't have the power to close it down. The Congress hadn't given
him
the power.
He's lied to you all along.
Yeah. Exactly. Now he's saying he's gonna, if it reaches 4,000, he's going to close it down. It's just about there. He's trying desperately to get reelected, and he's trying to make you not remember all of the dastardly deeds that he's done to our country over the course of the past 3 years. You're supposed to ignore all that stuff, and just remember what he's doing for you today.
Look, you know, he's the face of you know, the badger. You got backed into the corner. That badger's not going down without a fight because he's going to sit there. They're doing everything they can to try to get things back as if everything is fair and square, but it's not. And so at some point in time, they're not going to let go. They're fighting. So back to our point, I'm saying that democracy is what you thought you knew and that you had, you don't have. And that this is the last stand to get back any hope to have what we thought we once were and had. And that is going to be a tough fight. That's why, and, you know, going back to the Wildwood thing, the attempt on the life, and, you know, the incognito Secret Service agent, you know, they wanted to give Trump a heart attack, a permanent one. This is all them trying to covertly go, well, we can't reveal ourselves yet. But now they're revealing themselves, and I don't think they care. Makes you wonder if we're going to get to that election, you know, or not this fall. And if we do, what are they going to do to steal it? Because you've got never Trumpers now. Latest number out there is never Trumpers are becoming never Bideners, and they're coming over to Trump. You have, go ahead.
There are a lot of people who say, well, if he didn't lose the election in 2020, if it really was stolen, why didn't he just fight for it in 2020? And I want to point out to these people that a lot of people believe that if he had said it's stolen, we have proof, we're taking the office back, you know, we're going to use the military if we have to prove that we've done this, but we're not going to let the deep state grab the presidency from us illegally. If he had done that, because the left has the media on their side, the left would have said that Trump is doing a coup. He's trying to steal the election. They would have reversed it on Trump and made him look like he was the villain. Trump knew this. And what they believe is they figured, look, the country has got to see for itself just how corrupt and evil the left is. So, unfortunately, we've got to allow them to do damage. They've got to see the evil that they want to put us through, okay? They want to cover us in this cloak of evil. And Biden has done just that. He's ruined our borders. He's brought in millions of strangers to live in our communities.
Right.
And he has hurt our economy so that people who could afford just 3 years ago a nice house and some groceries and maybe a night out, they can't find the money to pay for the fuel and the food. They have to decide, oh, do I buy gas or do I get food?
Trump gave us, you know, oil independence. Biden shut it off, sold away our strategic supply. But people believe, if you're a Democrat, listen carefully, because you think that, you know, all these evil things. Well, according to what you're being told, we are the number one exporter of oil. Well, how can that be if we don't? How do you become the number one exporter of a product that you don't produce? You can't.
Right.
They're lying to you. Biden did say one honest thing. And again, listen carefully to what I'm saying, because he said this debate will be about democracy and authoritarianism.
Authoritarianism, yeah.
Yeah. And what he's saying is, you know, Trump is the dictator and Joe represents democracy. But the evidence points quite the opposite.
Yeah. Usually they say what they're accusing you of is what they do.
And look, just step back, forget about what you believe in everything. Look at what the evidence says.
Yeah.
It is a fight for democracy, but it's Trump's fight to get back democracy and get back for you what it is that Joe says you have that you don't, if that makes sense.
Now, here's what I think you can expect if Trump wins. If we get to an election and Trump wins, you can expect between the election and the swearing-in time, you can expect riots and
massive riots.
Turmoil like you would not believe. It will be the left pulling out all the stops because they want to turn our country upside down.
They will burn this country down if they can't have it and control it the way that they think they deserve. They don't believe in a two-party system. They don't believe in democracy. They believe in winner-take-all, one-party rule, and that's it. So I think in history, we're going to look back at these times or future generations and say this was the most evil time.
Yes, I agree.
Of all in history.
Yep.
And you happen to be here as a person. You know what? You want to keep a daily diary because it may not do you any good, but it could be good for history, and maybe somebody in your family, you will leave them a nice piece of history that will be valuable for future generations of yours. Just keep a diary.
You know, Bill, I never could understand this. This is a little aside, but I would see at events not too long ago, but I would see the presidents. You'd see Clinton and the two Bush presidents, and you would see Carter, and they would all be laughing and giggling and slapping each other on the back and
buddy,
having
buddy.
A good old time. Buddy, buddy, exactly. And I used to think to myself, wait a second. Their whole life experience was to attack each other publicly, to tear each other down publicly, to diminish each other publicly. But here they are now, after the presidency is behind us, after they've done whatever they were supposed to do, here they are like a bunch of friendly schoolboys, you know, at recess, laughing and patting each other on the back. I never could understand that. But now as I've gotten older and I understand that there may be more to the story that, you know, that meets the eye, I understand it. I do think that they really were always playing on the same team. They just had a different position.
Well, you think about that now. Yeah, it's two coaches of opposite teams, but they're coaches. When I sat in, in a conference room at a federal trial one time, and the attorney came in, I was just a witness. That's all I was. But he sat there and sat down and said, look, you know, you're an actor in a play, theater of the court. It's not about right or wrong. It is about the best coach on each side and the acting. You're an actor in a play. Just remember that. So make sure that you have your testimony, your lines down.
But
that's
it. What irritated me when I saw these presidents having a good old time together, I was thinking, for years, we as a country would be divided politically because of what these guys were spewing at us. You know, we were, and it's worse now than ever before. Think about this for a second. Most of my life, if I had friends who were Republican or friends who were Democrat, didn't make a difference, really. I mean, socially. It was like, hey, my buddy, you know, hey, he's a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I mean, it wasn't something to get angry about. But nowadays, if you say I'm a conservative and your friend says, well, I'm liberal, there's a tension, an electricity in the air, you know, that you can – it's not a comfortable thing to experience, you know. It is something which is – and this has really manifested itself over the last few years. You know, that's why there are demonstrations in the street. By the way, I wanted to play this for you.
Sure.
This is a CUNY professor. CUNY is the City University of New York. City University of New York. And they had protesters out there, pro-Hamas protesters.
Sure.
And this City University of New York professor, God bless him, he went up behind the protesters. There was a chain link fence between them, so he had some protection. But he had an American flag. And and they had their Hamas flags that they were waving. So he waved the American flag above their Hamas flag, and they got angry at him. They started calling him names, calling him a fascist, spitting on him.
In this country, the American flag reigns supreme. I don't care that you came from somewhere else. You're an American now.
Yeah, but
respect it.
You're right. But he said, this CUNY professor said, hey, it's not about Hamas. It's not these demonstrations are about how they hate America and they want to bring America down. They may say they're pro-Hamas and anti-Israel, but the most important thing they want to do is bring America down. He was in his car afterwards, and he explained what he did and why he did it. Listen.
So we're just leaving the rally. What I did was, luckily there was a fence that I had access to because I was inside the campus. You could access that fence, which was right behind the protesters. So I took an American flag, and I was waving it behind the protesters back and forth, and boy, did that work them up. One of the professors from our campus said, cover up the American flag. And I believe I got that on video, so when I get home tonight, I'm just leaving right now the campus. Hopefully I'll post that on the campus. It was actually, even behind the fence, it was actually a little bit scary because the protesters were trying to grab the flag. At one point, one of the protesters holding up the Palestinian flag, they couldn't keep up with me. I was too fast, right? And they said I was chubby, which I am a little bit. I said, but, you know, you can't keep up with me, though. So what does that say about you? Because they could not keep up. I was keeping that flag up and waving it proud. The American flag was seen, I believe, the entire time throughout that rally, although from my vantage point, you can't see it because I was the one holding it and trying to video them at the same time, so that was kind of difficult. But they grabbed the flag at one point, tried to pull it through the fence, and they had people taking pictures of me very close up, coming right up to the fence and taking pictures of me. That scares me, because why are they doing that? They're trying to document very, you know, specifically who I am. And that's kind of, that I have to admit, is very scary. They had multiple people with cameras taking super close pictures of me. I tried to block it as much as I could with the flag, but it wasn't possible. I should have done what they do. Because they're the ones who support terror, and they might actually hurt me, unlike our peaceful protests. But what was their problem with the American flag exactly? I was holding up an American flag. Why were they protesting and trying to block an American flag? That is something that is beyond my comprehension.
That's the City University of New York professor.
Yeah.
You know, and he couldn't understand why they were trying to block the American flag. But this is what they're all about. They're trying to bring America down, this element. By the way, just because you see them out protesting and demonstrating, and it looks like a large group, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are. I mean, I read an article, Bill, recently with these people are really a fraction of our population who are out making all this noise and pretending to be a wave of a new movement, you know? But this is upsetting. It's upsetting to a country. And by the way, this is something that's been going on for decades. for decades.
How many times have you seen the American flag disgraced, but yet, especially this administration, holds up the rights to the other flags, and to hell with the American flag. You can stomp on it, burn it, you can wipe your butt with it, and this administration does not care.
Well, you know, they have
you
ruled,
do that with a
they have ruled against people who have destroyed, like, the LGBTQ flag. They've actually, you know, filed charges against them, and they've upheld other flags. And by the way, these are leftist judicial people. You know, if this Trump trial situation has shown us anything, it's shown us just how corrupt, not all, but some of our judicial system is. I mean,
Go ahead. I was going to say, if you had a flag at your house, and let's go back in time in the magical time machine of Jim and Bill's show and go back to the 2020 election, and you thought it was stolen, and you decided to say, you know what, things are upside down, I'm going to fly my flag upside down.
A lot of people did, Bill. A lot of people did, including
Alito.
Alito, yeah.
And now they're saying, he flew his flag upside down.
Why is that an issue 3 years later, all of a sudden?
Well, it's an issue because basically he's saying he believes in the Constitution. He believes in democracy. He believes in America. And that was his way of saying this box is upside down.
Yeah, what it means is the flag upside down is a signal of distress.
Mm-hmm.
A signal of distress says something wrong. We need help. That's what the upside down flag really means. And Sam Alito, the Supreme Court Justice, is saying, actually, I didn't do it. My wife did it. You know, he said, my wife, she believes this and she thought it was a good idea. And she did it. And she had as much of a right to do it as he did. You know, but the thing that gets me is that if it's such an issue now, if they're trying to make noise about this now, why in the name of God do these people wait 3 years to make an issue out of it? 3.5 years.
Well, they do because they take everything and they save it for their rainy day for attacks, distractions, whatever that they need to move their ball down the field. And they stole the election. I believe that, but that's my thought. You can say you're crazy, Bill. Thank you. But I believe the election was stolen, and I have a right to believe that. Now, on the other side, they want to protect the steal. If what I say is true, that, you know, democracy has been under siege for a long time, then that flag needs to fly upside down all over this place until we get Trump back in, or at least we restore democracy, and that means there's got to be a house cleaning going on inside the government, in the White House, and all the way around.
What they're trying to say, Bill, to us is that the difference is the left is saying you haven't got a right to say that the election was stolen.
Right.
They're trying to say we haven't got a right to say it. In the meanwhile, they will continue to say that there was the Russia thing during the Trump administration, even though it was proven beyond a reasonable doubt that there was no Russia. That was all a made-up story. It was a hoax. Okay, they have not proven beyond a reasonable doubt, at least in my mind, that the 2020 election was honest. In my opinion, there was a lot of corruption going on there, but here's the thing that I it's history, it is long over, it's long gone by. I don't want to talk about 20. All I want people to do is remember 2020 and don't allow the left to make the same criminal moves again in the 2024 election.
If we get to vote, if we don't get to vote.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons that we might not get to vote. You know, riots break out in the street. Terrorism happens. A war happens. It can be any one of the things that Biden can sit there and take his little gavel and bam, you know, sorry, we're suspending the election. They're going to do and use whatever tool that they can to stop this election. And if they got to take Trump out, it'd be a tragedy.
I got a question for you. If he were to do something like that, he's sworn in for 4 years. So the 4 years go by. Is he, I mean, are we then president-less if he were to, take out the 2024 election, if he were to either cancel it or postpone it, would he essentially run out of his term and we be without a president at some point? Would the military have to step in?
I don't know how that works. Or the shadow government that's been in place and really running things will just sit there and say it is time to, under the guise of all of this, why couldn't they just change it and dismantle democracy?
Well, I mean, he's doing a lot of things that he is not legally able to do or shouldn't be legally able to do now anyway. So, I mean, again, I saw a video of him as recently as yesterday of him saying to the media, I haven't got the authority to make any changes on the border. I haven't got any authority to close the border. He was saying it was Congress. He was saying it was Congress's obligation to give him the authority. But yet, yesterday when push came to shove, he said that he was going to close the border, and he arbitrarily said that without Congress giving him anything different. The guy lies, folks. The guy lies for a living. And not only that, but he thinks all of his lies work. You know, nothing's worse than a liar who is convinced that his lies are effective. And he's one of these guys.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know what to say about Biden.
The
Cohen case in New York, it continues.
It fell apart.
I think there's more today. I think they're saying that when the prosecution rests, it might be a time for the judge to step in and say, enough of this nonsense. As a matter of fact, I got a little cut here from Senator Tom Cotton. Listen.
But what's a bigger news today is that if the prosecution rests its case based on the evidence they've put forward, then this judge should redeem himself and all the erroneous rulings he's made so far by directing a verdict of not guilty against Donald Trump, because there's been no evidence of any crime whatsoever in this case. The trial should end today if the prosecution rests its case.
It's obvious to him. It's obvious to me. Whether it'll be obvious to Mershan is something else.
Well, CNN even reported they actually had a law professor from NYU, Ryan Goodwin or something like that, or maybe it's Goodman. Can't read my own writing. Anyway, he sat there and said, with the testimony yesterday, I mean, Cohen drowned in his own lies, you know, talking about that call had nothing to do with Trump. As a matter of fact, when you connect the call with the texts that were being exchanged, it was nothing to do with Trump, had nothing to do. And if you've heard the call, you know, it's this guy just going, hey, you know, this could have been a problem for so-and-so, and I did this. He didn't even really go into that, just said, I did this, fix. Okay, thanks, great. You know, that's like your mechanic calling you up and saying, yeah, we found a few things that could have given you some problems, so I went ahead and took care of it during the oil change.
Yesterday, Anderson Cooper from CNN, which is not a big fan of President Trump, Anderson Cooper, halfway through the testimony by Michael Cohen, he went on camera and said this.
Criminal trial court in a lunch break now. Anderson Cooper with us. Anderson, how was court? You were there all morning.
I got to say, there was a lot of boring moments early on. There was a lot of kind of meandering cross-examination or seemingly meandering cross-examination by Todd Blanche. But the last 20 minutes of court today, right before the lunch break, it was incredible. I mean, it was, you know, Ellie Honig on my program last night had talked about, you know, on a cross-examination, lawyers want to kind of put the witness in a, you know, build a box around the witness and then slam it shut. That's what Todd Blanche did to Michael Cohen. I mean, the story, you know, the Todd Blanche just methodically went through this sequence of events of this phone conversation that Michael Cohen had testified to previously, that he had had this consequential phone conversation with Donald Trump. It was a 90-second phone conversation. I believe it was October 24th was the date that it was testified to in around 8 p.m. or so at night. But Todd Blanche on his cross-examination today looked at the transcript of text messages that Michael Cohen had received and sent before that time frame. And there had been this series, I guess, of crank calls that Michael Cohen had received. It turned out to be from some 14-year-old. There was an exchange of messages between the alleged 14-year-old and Michael Cohen. And then Michael Cohen texts Keith Schiller at like 7:50 something or 7:48 p.m. Saying, hey, I've got some dope has been harassing me. I got the person's phone number. Who can I talk to? Keith Schiller texts him back saying, call me. And Michael Cohen calls Keith Schiller. This is the conversation that previously Michael Cohen had said he was calling to speak to Donald Trump to tell him that he was going ahead with the Stormy Daniel arrangement and that Trump approved it, which was crucial to Michael Cohen's whole raison d'etre for being on the stand. He is the only person testifying to direct involvement by Donald Trump in the Stormy Daniels payments. But it, according to suddenly now Michael Cohen's refreshed memory, he now says, oh, it was a call about this 14-year-old making crank phone calls to me, but also about the moving ahead on Stormy Daniels. Todd Blanche was incredulous, his voice cracking, his voice raising up, moving around the courtroom, speaking, saying that what the jury doesn't want to hear, guessing, it wants to hear facts. It was an extraordinary cross-examination by Todd Blanche, and Michael Cohen's throughout the day, Michael Cohen, when he found himself in a corner, he does have a pattern of suddenly not understanding the question that's being asked, or seemingly one could say buying time to try to figure out how he wants to answer. But he definitely suddenly starts to, have Todd Blanche repeat questions and say, I don't quite understand what you mean. I'm confused by the question. But this time, Michael Cohen was cornered in what appeared to be a lie, I think, to many in the room, and had to adjust suddenly his memory that he had just testified to on Tuesday. Ellie, you pointed out just right before the commercial break, if jurors don't believe Michael Cohen, how significant that might be. It is hard to... I wonder how prosecutors are going to redirect on this, because Todd Blanche also pointed out, or got Michael Cohen to admit, that he had not seen these text messages in the prep by prosecutors. So he had apparently had no memory of those text messages. And the implication is that he concocted, he was shown that there was a phone call to Keith Schiller at this time by prosecutors in the prep. And the implication, certainly by Todd Blanche, is that he concocted this story of what that 90-second phone call was, not realizing that there were text messages right ahead that directly related it and right after that directly related it.
So, wow.
See?
It's amazing.
He lied, or the prosecution screwed up. They both screwed up.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this thing ends, because I guess they're right down to the very end. I don't know whether they're going to do a redirect today with the prosecution, with Cohen, whether he's still on the stand or not. I haven't been following it that closely. You have to step away sometimes just to catch your breath with all that's going on in the news.
You're going to see some baggy eyes in the prosecution today on the stand, because they had to sit up all night to figure out how do we swim out of this creek, because we're
yeah. I don't think they do, Bill. I think they're stuck. I think they are really stuck. Based upon what I've heard, they have put their foot in it. Cohen, apparently, it's obvious to everyone who was watching what was happening yesterday in court, it's obvious that Michael Cohen lied again. He thinks that's the answer to everything.
Well, you know, he's the guy that earlier, you know, going back, he sat there when all of this came down. He goes, I'm not going to jail. I am not going to go to prison. I will do whatever, quote unquote, whatever I have to do so that I don't go to jail. In other words, he's been lying and fabricating all along. He's a bad man.
He talked about suicide, Bill.
Yeah, he talked about suicide. He'd do whatever he could to not end up in prison, which is where he is. So with that attitude, do you not think that fish is trying to get off the hook, and he's a bad fish? Even that professor I mentioned, the end result was, if this went to the jury today, you know, there would be no verdict against Trump.
You know, I heard somebody saying
it's got to go.
I heard somebody saying it's so true. If I were to say to you, if I were to start a story off by saying a hooker prostitute and a compulsive liar walk into a bar, you know it's something preposterous. But yet this is what the prosecution is basing their entire case on. Stormy Daniels, who has made her living as a video prostitute, and Michael Cohen, who is not just a little liar or a white liar, he is a convicted former jailed felon, a perjurer. This is a guy who is not just a liar. He was making an art form out of it and got caught, and he's still doing it.
Megyn Kelly, who's conservative, but Megyn Kelly has had her tats with Trump, even believed that, well, he had that affair. Now she's come out and said, you know what, based on everything now that I see and hear, that never happened. This was all a setup.
Yeah.
You know, and which is what I was saying, you know, it's blatantly obvious that this is a setup. And if you're still listening there with your pulled over to the side of the road, your bagel you're choking on, or the cup of coffee from what we talked about earlier, like one of my liberal friends said, oh, they're all lying. He's in prison. He's getting paid. You know, if you're in prison for being a liar and you're being paid to be in prison, what good is the money if you're going to sit there and rot your life away in there? No, that's not happening, friend. This guy was a clown show to begin with. Nobody saw it until, you know, what happened. And, you know, I'm saying Trump's been a worldly guy. You know, he's a young, rich guy, you know, one time. But a lot of people were.
We're going to find out just how corrupt our judicial system really is very, very soon. The honest and legal thing that, first of all, if it was really an honest and legal judicial system, it never would have been
thrown out now. The case is over.
It would never have come to trial. Okay. But beyond that, it did come to trial. If they realize, oh, wait a second, this is just too preposterous, we cannot continue. The honest thing for them to do would be to dismiss it right now.
That's if they were honest and, yeah, we lived in a fair and just country, which we don't anymore. Yeah, but we don't.
If the fix is in, if they force the defense to go on and do their part of the case.
I do believe that Mershon has signaled that he knows what he should do, but he is beholden, you know, A, he, his daughter, are making money off of this. B, somebody put him there for a reason. He was a chosen planet judge with a mission, and he has to you know, serve his master, so to speak, and he's got to do what he's told to do, even if he knows it's the wrong thing. So we're going to see what kind of man he is at all of this. And if a nickel to a dollar, you put up a nickel, I'll put up a dollar, I'm betting that he's still going to find a reason to make Trump guilty.
Well, with all this going on, you would think that the damage would be irreparable against Trump. But there's a brand new, for example, New York Times Siena College poll, and it shows Trump leading Biden by 3 percentage points in Pennsylvania, 5 points in Michigan, and 5 points in Arizona, 10 points in Georgia, and 12 points in Nevada. These are all key states, all states that Trump supposedly lost in 2020. I'm not convinced, but that's just my own personal opinion, which we, I guess, are still allowed to have.
Yeah, you are. Apparently you are. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, you look at, what's her name? How soon we forget, from South Carolina, Nikki Haley. You know, she pulled out of the election. But the Democrats are going, oh, Trump's got a problem with her. Why? Well, she got 9%, 17%, 20%. Trump got over 80% in all of these. So even though she's still on the ballot, so what? She is not a contender. Although she withdrew, she could still jump back in. I think she is just there serving as disruption and whatnot. Now, Trump did send out a text yesterday that he has made a final decision on his VP choice, which is something that the left has been dying for. They're waiting for that because they want to know who to pounce on. And as the text read, not Nikki Haley.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. You know what does surprise me? We mentioned yesterday in our show that a text came out from the Kennedy camp, the RFK Jr. camp, saying that they had qualified for the debate and they look forward to seeing the other two candidates on the stage during that debate. But I listened yesterday throughout the day, and they were saying, well, it still hasn't, they still haven't gone, Biden still hasn't gone along with having RFK Jr. on the debate stage. It's, and Trump did a video saying, look, I mean, I think that RFK's numbers are going down, but if he qualifies, he's more than welcome to join us on that stage. I would look forward to debating him. This is what Trump said in a video. But so it's Biden that doesn't want RFK Jr. to be on that debate stage challenging him. Because
Biden shouldn't have a say in who's on there or not. He has a say whether he's going to be on there. But that's it. And, you know, let's look at this. That little 14-second piece of audio that we played yesterday of Biden and his, you know, make my day, pal. It was edited five times. Right. All right. He can't even talk for 10 seconds without it having to be edited, and which is sad. So he's expected to go for 2 hours. How do you expect him to win? Actually, people will judge him differently because he's elderly, he's got a handicap, so all Biden's got to do is make it through.
You mean this audio right here?
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. Since then, he hadn't shown up for debates. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
Oh, if you saw the video, folks, it has more interruptions in it than...
whoever edited that, bad job. You know, even look, I've had to, part of the old wrecking crew from Pittsburgh, you know, all those hockey players used to do commercials. And I had a guy in the studio one time. I said, 60 second read shouldn't be long. This guy chewing his gum and I couldn't say anything, to him. You know, it took an hour and a half for him. And I just said, you know what? Just read a line. If you screw it up, just forget about it. I'll fix it. Just, you know, and it took a day to edit that audio, but it was a great commercial when it was done, you know. What are you still doing in there? Look, I had Kevin Stevens in here, and he couldn't talk.
I hear these pundits out there, and they're saying things like, well, you know, we underestimated him for the State of the Union speech. We didn't expect him to go out there and be as strong as he was during that. Of course, he was juiced up. But what they're forgetting, okay, in the State of the Union speech is that it was all Joe. I mean, he walked out there. He had been juiced up before. He went out there on the stage, and it was all Joe with no interruptions except for applause because, quote, the left loves him, right? So the difference is you're going to have Donald Trump on the stage, and he's going to be slicing you and dicing you at every opportunity. And that's going to be a challenge for Joe Biden, the diminished. He's going to have Trump a problem.
When Trump answers a question, he will give you a question back. He will throw questions at Biden.
Oh, I know.
Which is, I mean, this is going to be funny, but I have some thoughts in that, too. But
that's why God made tomorrow's program, because tomorrow's program will be here before you know it. Again, a total of 4,318,424 total podcast available to you today. And with all those podcasts out there, we thank you for making us number 648 out of all of them.
Our ranking. 648 sounds like a big number, but in that on that list, that puts us in the...
Less than 1%.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably an nth of a percent.
We're in the top 1% of everybody.
Top.
Yeah.
Top nth of 1%.
Bill, I want a raise.
Well, you give me one. Wait a minute. You're not getting paid?
Whatever you have, I want.
Well, then good.
Then
you
I
get
have.
Nothing. You get nothing,
as
buddy.
Billy Preston used to say, nothing from nothing leaves
equals
nothing.
The It's Another Day show.
Yeah.
No. Hey, no, you get something for nothing.
What you do get is the pleasure and the charm of sitting with me every morning.
Oh, you know, look, yes. I'm going to flatter ourselves here. Yes. You know, we're two good-looking men. And,
oh,
you know,
really? We have a face for radio.
Really, yeah, well, we look great on mic.
Yes, we sure do. Yes, indeed. Hey, listen, if you want to contact us, our website address is www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill.com. Which one is getting the most traffic, Bill? Is it the Jim and Bill?
I have no clue. You're the one with all the numbers. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I can
not me.
I can only get so much into statistics. Then my eyes cross and I start to gurgle. But that's just me. Anyway, that's about it.
You foam at the mouth. I do that.
No, I well occasionally, but that's for another time. Hey, listen, I'm done here. We've had an interesting program. We talked about a lot of stuff. We'll have more to talk about tomorrow on Saturday's program. Is there anything else that you want to add before we pull the plug on this one?
Well, I had other things, but they can wait until tomorrow. But, you know, my alter ego is here, and he only has one thing to say.
Hasta la vista, baby! What am I saying? Oh, we're out of here!
This is CRN America.